Welcome everyone. Good evening. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee. We are joined at the beginning of the meeting by Vice Chair Susan Albright, Counselor from Ward 2, Barbara Bussell Frazier, Counselor from Ward 3, Cheryl Lappin, Counselor from Ward 8, myself, Deb Crossley, Chair from Ward 5, and our committee clerk, Nadia Khan. We are expecting some others. The first item is a public hearing. We will be joined by Everton who is petitioning for granted location to install 433 feet of conduit and a couple of manholes in Elliott Street. And this is the work preceding the construction of the Elliott Street, also known as Cook's Bridge, which is necessary for that work. So we'll hear from them, and then I think we might like to hear from the DPW about, because they are our town, our city is coordinating the work, and the town of Needham is our partner. Before you begin, we have just been joined by Councilor Gentile from our four. So this is the EverSource petition first on the agenda. Would you like to?
My name is Marlene Sell, and I'm here on behalf of the EverSource Company, and I'm here on a petition. It's on Elliott Street in Newton. This is to install approximately 433 feet of conduit and also two manholes on Elliott Street. This is the purpose of this is as the bridge is getting reconstructed, an opportunity for EverSource to put in some conduit and manholes for future use.
Okay, so it's not specific to the bridge, but it has to happen before, I think, the concrete system is poured.
So it's an opportunity for us to go in whether it's doing over the bridge to put it through that once it's finished, but we don't go in and dig it out.
Did the department want to add to this in any way?
Yes, so this conduit was placed during the bridge construction because the historic commission would not allow us to put conduit externally. So it's important that we do schedule this and coordinate this now for future use so this can be done while the construction is going on and the concrete is poured over the conduit.
Can you speak to the coordination of the schedule for this work versus the bridge work? Is it happening really as part of the 4 to 6 month schedule?
Yes, this will be included in the bridge construction.
Okay, add to it.
It's not going to add to the construction at all. This is part of the plan all along.
Okay, thank you. And for the record, that's Commissioner McGonigal. Are there any questions from the committee? Comments? Yes?
I don't know if I had a different number. That might be different.
433 feet?
Right, this is 220 feet.
What
oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought
it was
420. Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Then I will open the public hearing. Is there anyone here to speak for or against this petition? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and I would look for a motion. This is my word.
Okay.
We have a motion from Councilor Albright to approve. All in favor? Thank you. It's unanimous.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry, this is coming back to okay. Welcome, and. The next item on the agenda is the continuance of the hearing on Franklin Street. I believe because we're continuing the public hearing that I need a little clarification on this, that we can, I'd almost like to skip over it and do some other DPW items, because Councilor Rago is not here for the first bit of this meeting with the Charter Commission, and
let him go
in. We can take it up right away.
Okay.
I know we have a neighbor here and several people here just for this petition, but if we could try to move forward on a couple of other items that I think are quick, we might have a better chance of including Mark, and if we can't, we can't. So I'm going to suggest we without any objections, go to item 142-16, which is desire of the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate and spend $500,000 in free cash for the purpose of supplementing Chapter 90 override, Chapter 90, override and grant fund and due tables for fiscal year 2017. You recall this was brought up during our budget discussion last week. We're joined by Commissioner McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the request is for additional $500,000 to be put towards paving for fiscal year 17. We're looking at doing an additional 3 miles of overlay or my screen door microsurfacing. We've just done our street scan. As you know, that was just completed last week, our evaluation of the street. So we're looking to receive that data before we commit to the streets. Again, this is the new technology that may bring to light some streets that we need to do sooner than we had thought previously.
Okay. So is this 8 miles plus 3 more miles, so
it
would be 11 miles?
No, this is 8 miles. So I think in the CIP we talked about, we committed to 5 miles. That's what we had scheduled.
Oh, that's right. It's 5.
Yes. So we're looking at adding another 3. Again, I don't want to commit to what streets we're going to be doing, but we're looking at doing another 3. And we'll look at that new data that we get, and we'll share that with you once we have that, before we commit to the other streets with this funding.
Thank you. Anyone else? No further comments? We're joined by President Lennon, Council from Ward 1, and Vicki Danberg, Council from Ward 6. And this is the item to add $500,000 into the CIP from free cash. We discussed this last week. If there are no further comments, I would look for a motion.
I'll move it.
Okay. Motion to approve by Councilor Gentile. All in favor? And again, it's unanimous. Thank you very much. Next is item 144-16. Which is the son of the mayor requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $250,000 from public works full-time salaries account to the following: vehicle repair parts, $50,000, and collections / recyclables, $200,000. And this is Mr. John again.
Yes, thank you. The $50,000 request is for additional repairs to vehicles that we have performed and will be performing to get us through the end of the year. As the fleet ages, of course, our repairs will go up, and as we discussed earlier, you know, the average age of our fleet is 10 years old, which is well above the average recommended age for a municipal fleet of 5 to 7 years. So that's to help with the repairs of our fleet. As far as $200,000 for collection and recyclables, that is to cover the increase we saw this year in the disposal fee for recyclables. Last year we had budgeted $40 a ton. That is now up to $60 a ton. But as we discussed last week, that is a cap, so it cannot go any higher than that. So next year we have budgeted for that.
And you told us, yeah. Okay, thank you. Any comments or questions? Father.
Where do we send our recyclables?
To Millbury.
Different place than where we send our trash.
Yes, to two different facilities. We're actually going to be conducting, at the request of Councilor Leary, we're going to be conducting a tour, and you'll all be invited to the facilities.
Both facilities?
Yes, we're going to try to do both. And Rumford Avenue has been requested, of course.
Before I came on the board, you guys had all just gone there, so I missed that.
Okay. Any other money?
So, Commissioner, you said that the vehicle repair transfer was for work that has already been done in some cases and work that you need to do.
No, I'm sorry. Work that we need to do to get us through the end of the year. We wouldn't be able to continue to perform certain repairs. I don't want to put us in that position before the end of the year.
All right. Because the reason I ask is the last few days, I've been made aware of, and I'm not saying it's your department necessarily, but I'm a little bit concerned that we are making some of, we're doing some work for which there has not been an appropriation. So, and that's something that, in my opinion, that we're clearly not supposed to be doing, and I don't want to see us getting into that habit. So I just want to make sure that we're not, and as you know, there was a situation that your department got into before you came where people were verbally saying it was okay to do work to our vendors, I think with the signalization, a lot of the signalization work. And we ran up some pretty big bills that we ended up obviously having to pay since somebody authorized the work, but they didn't authorize the work appropriately because there wasn't money there to do it. So we all want to get work done that needs to get done, but I think that there have been a few instances where people are exceeding their authority, and so it's something that we're going to be chatting about over the next month or so to make sure that people are not taking certain liberties that are not taking liberties that they shouldn't be taking. So I just want to make sure that we're not, that I heard you correctly or incorrectly, that you hadn't already done the work.
No, and I apologize. I want to continue. This was brought to our attention by our police department that, you know, we were getting close to being out of funds for the year, and we've implemented some stringent maintenance program also. As far as inspection of the vehicles, we don't allow the operator to take a vehicle out if it's not safe. I want to make sure we can continue to do work and repair our equipment because we have directed them to do that. Also, all the division heads have been directed that they are not to perform any work without verifying they have funds also.
Okay. Joe?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve. All in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to try to move through these. Other items are fairly quick, too, I think. So item number 133-15, parens A2. This is Honor of the Mayor requesting an amendment to the board order 132-15 for NK on November 16, 2015 by replacing 60 Elliott Street with 70 Elliott Street as an approved site for solar car canopies. And we have spoken about this.
Yep. So it was actually originally approved, and it was just really an administrative function. For whatever reason, DCW has multiple street addresses in the same compound. In a perfect world, they would have one. In this case, just to make sure that our documents are absolutely correct, we want to reflect 70 Elliott as opposed to 60 Elliott. So it's still in the Elliott Street yard, and it's just as we presented that night.
Okay. Any questions or comments, or do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve. The same. All in favor? Excellent. I also had one. And item 171-16, this is on the mail requesting authorization to transfer the sum of $75,642 from the public building full-time salaries account to public building repairs and maintenance account for the purpose of funding. It was brought to my attention by Mildred Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
CO detectors, not CO2 detectors.
Correct, CO detectors.
Major elevator and electrical repairs, as well as other repair requests.
CO2 is carbon dioxide, carbon waste.
Ah,
right. We breathe all the time.
I haven't seen the item yet. She was reading ahead in the docket.
Yeah.
Nice
to
have a proofread.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so big picture, there were, and I'll give you a brief detail on each one of these. We had a number of kind of unforeseen items that came up over the course of the year. And again, to Councilor Gentile's point, if we had not spent money we don't have, we have just used our existing funds to cover these costs. And in order to continue to maintain our buildings throughout the remainder of the year, we're asking for this money. So the big one was the installation of the CO detectors at City Hall Senior Center and Main Library. We will continue to roll this out in other areas, in other buildings. Those are the kind of largest buildings with the largest populations.
so we will continue that effort. Major elevator repairs at City Hall when we've got our new elevator online. Our old elevator, I could never take it offline because the building's constantly used and it needed some significant work. So when that elevator went online, I was able to take this one down and make those repairs and bring it to the 21st century. The vapor recovery system decommissioning, this is at Crabtree and Elliott Street Fuel Dispensing Tank. This is a state mandate that came down. This is not an option we had to go through. Eliminate the vapor recovery system, since now all the vehicles have the system. So they're obsolete, and the state said you've got to remove them. We had various major electrical repairs in our buildings. This was, we blew a couple legs, not at the source's fault, but we had to make some pretty significant repairs at a handful of buildings. City Hall, we had some plumbing repairs. We had to chase this one a bit. The urinals in the men's room downstairs by the custodian's office, it all backed up. We snaked everything out. Long story short, we had to saw cut the slab. There was some traps that were installed back in 1932 that basically were completely solid with sand and debris that the snake couldn't get through. So we had to go through and cut out pipes and replace it. But as part of that, there's asbestos tile that I had to take off in order to get it, and then asbestos mastic. So it was quite a project. You know, when you think you're going to go there with some Drano, and then next thing you know, you're cutting the floors to the hall open. And that's the big picture.
Okay. So this is just a transfer of funds within the department, however.
Correct.
Any comments or questions?
Who's our elevator company that we have now?
Right now, DVT. They just bought out somebody else. I need to use those.
Oh, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion to approve by Councilor Albright. All in favor? Again, it's unanimous. Thank you. And his item number 172-16 is his honor the mayor requesting authorization to appropriate $99,475 from free cash to the public buildings department for costs associated with installation of security cameras at City Hall and the police.
Okay, so I will go with the easy one first. The police headquarters already have cameras. They're quite old and they are analog cameras, so they don't have great facial recognition. This is something that police have been looking to for quite a while. And when the time came that we were talking about potential for City Hall as well, we thought it would make sense we could get both projects and ultimately improve our buying power, which meant that our costs would come down. For police, it's essentially replacing the cameras that are currently there, except with digital higher megapixel cameras that allow them to pick up facial recognition and other issues on that end. That's that one, and I can take questions on that after. But for City Hall, we've had a number of thefts over the years, and including as recently as a few weeks ago. And then in talking with the police department, the police chief, and Sergeant Daly and Sergeant Eldridge, not only do they fully support cameras at City Hall, they also recently did the general threat assessment of City Hall, so starting to think about things like that. So they felt that it was very wise as a deterrent, but also if there was an incident, that we have cameras in our hallways and at our entrances at City Hall. There would not be cameras in any of the office areas, nothing like that. And we would mirror our school committee policy where nobody's monitoring these cameras. If there's an incident that occurs, somebody from HR and somebody from the police department review the case together, and it's not the case obviously, but view the footage together, and after 2 weeks it would be automatically dumped. So the reason why I didn't submit an awful lot of backup on this is that this would be a design build. There's a number of different security companies that can do this work. We're going to work most likely through the state contract, which already bid these companies out. And then we can come in and identify the locations, working a little more detail with the new police department as far as camera locations. But again, they will only be in the common areas and at the entrances.
Very specific number. How did we come up with the number? Is it what was available at free cash?
No, I know. It is a very specific number and actually unusual to do that. But basically what we did was I have an on-call contract for security work, and they looked at both locations, and we asked for a budgetary number, and it certainly was not budgetary. They got very, very detailed. But I figured that this was kind of worst-case scenario, so hence the reason that we went with the number, confident that it's going to come down from there.
Okay. Questions? Comments? Scott?
Just quickly, it's more of a question for finance, so maybe if finance wanted to look into it a little further, it's going to call finance, too.
Yeah.
maybe I just want to raise the question of what types of theft, meaning are they, internal, external, like people come here and leave a bag and go to testify and the bag's gone, because it comes down to an issue of what kind of controls we have in place in our own building,
mm-hmm.
Departments that are supposed to be securing their own assets. Like, I just think it might be helpful to understand from a control standpoint.
Sure.
Lost theft and misuse may be something that you should look into with the audit committee or something like that, but I just think we should maybe understand a little bit what the actual theft
is. Give you a couple of examples. When you mentioned the audit committee, not the audit committee themselves, but the state auditor came down and they were working in the chambers and all their laptops were stolen when they went to get coffee.
Oh my God.
A generator from IT disappeared. This is probably a month ago.
Generator?
Yeah.
How big is a generator?
It's a relatively small generator, but they're heavy. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know who was running with one of those.
IT has security.
They do, but it happened apparently in the middle of the day, as did the laptop. There was a laptop taken from another employee in the middle of the day who just went to use the bathroom.
So these cameras won't help that.
Yeah,
how does the camera help in that? Well, you want to understand what sort of internal policies we have for laptops, control laptops,
yeah,
stuff like that. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how the cameras can help. If somebody just walks out with a laptop, how are you going to know
that's why the police are very big on deterrence. I don't think anybody in the right mind is going to risk putting their face on a camera with somebody else's laptop. I mean, it wouldn't be difficult for the police, we would get to that. And then there's other side benefits that I want to mention, too. Folks have seen has been, anybody that frequents either customer service, the treasury, ISP, there certainly have been a number of incidents where it's just inappropriate behavior and people getting very loud and angry. And I think just the deterrent of having cameras might improve the behavior at those cameras. So, side benefit. That's not why we're installing them, but I think there's going to be some other things that are...
We probably need to have signs.
Oh, we will.
People know that they're on.
Yeah, I'm very clear about this. I am not hiding cameras at all. They will be very obvious. In a perfect world, nobody ever has to look at this footage. I just want it as a deterrent, and that's what police are really pushing on this as well. Mm-hmm. It's not about catching bad guys. It's about making sure the bad guys don't come in.
So, Barbara and I, Charles...
Two things. One is sort of going to that point. I don't know if it's programs and services, or does anyone talk about the ethics, the way the school committee had to mull over the cameras in the school? Is it just you, or?
Oh, no. I don't know.
I mean, who's talking about
policy? What's going on is the law department will take the school committee policy and they will ultimately just make the administrative edits that make it a city policy. But ultimately, we're going to mirror that. So.
And then my second question, again, we're doing some finance, but for the police department cameras, that's not in the police budget? That's your budget? The building?
Well,
it's in a building?
It wouldn't. So at that level, it probably wouldn't be in my budget, but it is something that I would request because it's an infrastructure project. Now, I will be working very closely with the police department. They have their own IT folks and their own kind of facility folks. I'm not. The only reason that these projects are together is purely for buying power. The police department is very good at what they do. I'm not stepping on their toes. If they need my help, I'm there for them. But ultimately, I said for this project, this is all about just trying, both of us trying to get the best bang for our buck.
Okay. Thanks, Charles.
It seemed like a big number.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you could put cameras up for much less than that. Is this, how many cameras are you putting up?
So we are assuming worst case scenario, and I honestly do not see this many cameras. 64 for City Hall, and I really don't think we'll be anywhere near that.
Just in the hallway?
Well, what ends up happening, if you think about it, City Hall has, I believe, 13 exterior entrance points. It's a lot. When you really start adding up, and then the really challenging space is in the basement, right? Because when you have long hallways, I can go with a very high megapixel camera, and I can cover a very long distance because they can zoom in forever if they need to. But when you get into an area like the basement, where it's all compartmentalized and zigzag, you end up with a lot of different camera locations. But some of that is, so when a security company looks at it, they want to make sure every hallway is covered. When I sit down with Sergeant Eldridge and we start looking at this, if you take the hallway that goes along the back of the boiler room down there, it may zigzag a million times, but you've got nowhere to go in between point A and point B. So we don't need a camera at every angle. You need a camera at one end and another at the other. So in working with police, I'm very confident that we can drive this number down. I won't install any more cameras than we have to. And the lessons learned that I've had, and it's in my lessons learned team for the school project, is that security companies will try to give, they want as many cameras as possible, obviously, because it's more money, it's more labor. But you're better off spending an extra couple hundred bucks per camera and going with a higher resolution and less cameras. You can save yourself a lot of money.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Just real quick, it ends up being our cameras or the security cameras?
So far.
Security company's cameras.
Yeah, we own them. I'll move it.
Thank you. I have a motion to approve from Councilor Gentile. All in favor? That's unanimous again. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Moving right through the agenda. So, I was trying to hold the second item for last. Hoping that Councilor Laredo might be finished, but I doubt he's going to be finished this early. I think he's probably going to be in at 8 o'clock. So,
he didn't want anyone to come get him?
No panel can't on the panel. Yeah. Because it's his ward, and he had been involved in some conversations, but we have a lot of information. So, this is item 108-16, Eversource Energy petition for grant of location to install 350 feet of conduit in Franklin Street from the existing manhole at the intersection of Beechcroft, easterly to 100 Franklin Street in Ward 7. We are joined again by Eversource, and I just want to say a couple things first, which is you'll give us the general skinny. I was hoping you would also be able to tell us just from the beginning, so we all have the facts on the table, because there's been a little confusion about some of the facts about what the progression has been since last fall. Through to, I know there was a neighborhood meeting, and what additional information we have. And then I think I'd like to hear from our Public Works Department, John Dangling is joining us, City Engineer and the Commissioner again, about, you know, what their process has been. And finally, we all, and I can pass these out, and members of the public as well. Okay. And I don't know if Mr. Colantonio would like to have one. This is a memo from our law department. I asked for the law department to let us know so that we're very clear about what our everybody's role is. And if you've got emails to all members of the committee, if you'd like another copy, they're here. So with that, again, we are joined by Eversource. Would you like to reintroduce yourself and the project?
Okay. Again, my name is Lauren Stell. I'm on behalf of the Eversource Company. And I'm here on a continued petition on Franklin Street, and it's to install 350 feet of conduit in Franklin Street from existing manhole 4210. This is to provide electric service for a new home at 100 Franklin Street.
Okay. And could you speak to the sequence of events since last October when the request came through?
So I just got an email this afternoon. It was a little short notice. I just called a salesperson in Westwood, asked him to give me a brief that, they just want to know what happened. So he did send me a quick email. Basically what happens is when a customer first starts a work order, normally it's an electrician that will call a work order, and they'll call because they need the load. So roughly, you can see on September 28th, the customer, who is the customer's electrician, called our salesperson. So the salesperson emailed the application. The customer has to fill out the application. Once they fill out the application, a work order can be started. So on September 28th, he was emailed an application. The application came back. It was not complete. So the salesman had to call the electrician again So the work order was actually started 2 weeks later on October 14th when all the information was correct. So October 14th, the work order went in our system. On October 19th, there was a site meeting. So the site meeting was the customer for Franklin Street and our designer. So basically, when our designer goes out, they see what they have, they have a new home. In this case, there was no existing house, there was no existing service. There was a few items given out. In this case, the person bought the lot behind an existing house. So after meeting, they thought they could bring the service down the driveway of the neighbor's house. You cannot come down someone else's driveway unless they obtain an easement. So on October 19th, the field meeting, this was explained. On October 22nd, this work order was placed on hold from the designer because the customer owner slash project manager said, let me try going to some of the neighbors, seeing if I can use some of the poles on their property so that it's easier, it's quicker, it's a shorter span. And there were various neighbors that had backyard, what we call backyard construction. So this work order was actually put on hold. The designer could not do anything until he came back from the project manager slash owner slash builder developer. Then the customer called again. There were various people from the customer. We had the electrician, blinds, we had the project manager, we had the builder, we had the developer. A lot of people calling on this. Various times during this time, we're saying they were trying to get in touch with neighbors. They approached the neighbors, they told us nobody wanted them to use the backyard. So that was the final thing. So in January, they said they can't get easement from any of the neighbors. What can we do? So the designer, on January 13th, prepared a work order. The only other way was coming out of the existing manhole from 350 feet of conduit to the person's house. This was discussed at first, that the customer owned by Silver wants to go to the neighbors because it would have been a shorter span. And less money. But again, if you can't get pocket easement, you cannot go on anyone else's property. So on January 13th, the work order was designed. It was approved on January 15th. January 19th, I ordered plans, which are required from our survey for us to petition. On February 19th, we got the plans to go in my office, did the petition in order, and we mailed it to the Board of Aldermen, back in front of the City Council. February 19th. From then, it came into City Hall. Again, it was mailed through the company, mailed through 6 to 3 days, and then the mailing was probably April 6th and continued.
Okay.
So that's basically the process.
That's very helpful because I think there was a lot of confusion at our last meeting about how long different entities took to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like it took EverSource 5 months to engineer the project, but
no.
Clearly not the case. So I think that's clearer now. That helps me.
Okay.
I wanted to call next. Unless anybody has a question for clarification, I wanted to go ahead. It sent it to the board on February 2nd, is that what you said?
No. 19th. So what happens is we went through the U.S. mail,
yep.
So February 19th, so probably took a few days.
So then February.
So it normally goes into the, we can mail it to Shauna, they stamp it, then they send it to engineering, so we do. Then it comes back, has to be scheduled for the mail.
Okay, got it, thank you. So that's a perfect segue if we could, is it John who's going to lay out from your end then how have things gone? Actually, I asked you if you would bring it up to the public, to the community meeting, but I'm going to ask John to do that.
Sure. So it's all clear that we have with the radio and every sort of representative we have for the particular year, and they submitted this powerful schematic. I pretty much showed the user configuration and the request of the applicant and how they would give power to it.
I know it's little, but it's very powerful. What do you think of it?
So here are the existing conditions. The applicant's property is at number 100 at the dead end portion of the roadway. And all the homes at back that are title fit by backyard construction. So the proposal that the applicant had requested was to bring an underground conduit.
Can you say this to everybody?
Yeah. I want to use the unit. It goes from an existing manhole down to the end of the roadway, putting a cab mount transformer, and then underground service to number 100. And then a third option was when all the neighborhood wanted to underground their property, they would have to run additional conduit in the same trench as feasible, and then also put in additional more transformers and handholds to service the individual houses. And at that time, real rough estimate was about $25,000 per homeowner, but that was just for the conduit, not the wiring, not the wiring from the handhold for the meter inside the house. So it was just $25,000 based on installation in the roadway.
So that's a number I heard, and I wasn't sure where it came from. Was that number estimated by EverSource over the year?
Right. Okay. And that number is based on assuming that all the residents in the neighborhood wanted. If two or three opt out, then the price would have to go up because there's less people showing up.
I want to be real clear about that number again. So that if all, how many households are there that might be getting?
700. In addition to the applicant.
Okay. So if all seven houses wanted to participate, the cost per would be $25,000 plus various other costs.
And that's just for EverSource. Now you have Fastlane, Verizon, RCS, Comcast.
Okay. And before we take questions, could you explain sort of where that meeting wound up and what next steps were proposed by the neighborhood when you were at that meeting? I thought this reporting on the meeting.
Sure. I believe Mr. Colantonio was going to work with EverSource to try to finalize the design and the more exact number for everyone to come off with or to make a determination. And I believe that was left that would be at a different timetable. And that would take a few more weeks before their engineers would do more detailed design.
Were all the neighbors represented at this meeting?
I believe everyone was there.
Okay. Were all the neighbors represented at this meeting that was held with EverSource in this area?
I believe there might have been one or two not present, but the majority were there.
Okay. Was there a consensus about wanting to go forward?
We didn't do any handbooks or anything, but it seemed like they were interested in it, and they asked us what can we do to put this project on the back up, and we told them right out we have no control over that.
Okay. Did EverSource answer that question?
So, system might be able to answer because we're still waiting. Again, they have to get the load. We have to know exactly. 7 people, 8 people, 10 people. So until we know exactly, and we need the loads, we need to know they need to hire electricians because we have to know if their service is going to come from the back of the house to the front. Mm-hmm. There's still information we need before we can actually start a work order underground.
Okay, so if they figured that out today, how would, and they asked you that question, what could you do to fast track it, what would your answer be?
The designer that was out there, the engineer, he said once they need confirmation from the customer who wants to be included. And that's the load, has to get this Sandy, who's our customer service rep. He'll get all the loads, he needs questions from the customers for where they'll be installing the underground. And then roughly, once we get all the information, it could be like a 20 business day time frame.
To do the work?
Or
to design it? That's the design part of the
system
with us.
Yes.
Oh, so it's not even
designed?
It's the design?
Not even designed yet because we don't have the customers.
No, but the 20 days. What happens in that 20 days really?
They'll get a design. Okay. So in other words, a design to see how many pad mounts are needed, where the pad mounts are going to go. If you only have 5 people, you might only need 1 pad mount. If you have 10, you might need 2. Whose house are we going to put the pattern on? You might have to keep them in the middle that's going on. It's a lot that we have to know definitely.
So another question came up that I just want to put on the answer on the table, and I confirmed this with Jim earlier, I'll ask it again, is the customer who's petitioning us now is for the one house, and those construction documents, since the engineering design had been completed, because that's required in order to file the petition with the city. And so therefore, it's ready to be constructed once it's approved in our 20-day appeal period expires. Is that correct?
Okay. I needed to say that because there was something floating around about no matter what, it's going to take 5 or 6 months for anybody to do any work, which is not true. So, before we go to the legal opinion, Father Dickey had a question about this part, right?
Yes. First of all, the public hearing is still open.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm actually going to defer, I think, to Victor, because I had a conversation with Victor this afternoon knowing that Mark was unable, likely, to come here.
That's fine, but I would like to put all the facts on the table before we do.
But he's got some facts that are different from the estimates that I think you probably ought to hear. Yes.
Okay, because so. I do want to talk about what the legal opinion and so you know what we need to do to move this.
So
the public hearing is open. Mr. Colantonio, do you have some questions or comments on this part of it?
I do, thank you. The number of houses that was on the design plan is not 7, it's 9, not including number 100.
Okay.
There are 9 houses. Of this, during the estimate that furnished by EverSource on the last day, it was $150 for a transport time to the wire, $4,000 for cab mount set-up transformer, which went to count and measure. It really comes out close to the $7,000 per household for 7.
How can you estimate that?
You can measure with a wheel, count the number of trench feet, multiply by $150, count up the transformer, multiply by 4,000, add a contingency fee for wire, and then get a concrete estimate for the repaving, which is $6,000 here and here, and divide it by 7. So that's the number that, I don't know where 25,000 came from, but that's okay. We did have a house that was interested at the dead end of transport, which would have required about another 140 or 50 feet of trench, but they have since determined that they can get service off Quid Street and the rear end. So they were not part of the count, and maybe that's where the additional internal electricity to their electrician to run wires, maybe even improve their electric panel. But that's nothing to do with this project. And they can do that 2 or 3 years down the road. Our problem is that these homeowners only have one shot to put in underground facilities on the street off of the backyard easement while the facility is open. And we're trying to assess the economic advantage of spending $7,500 per household to do this while the street is open versus we'll never have another chance at it. So that's what we were trying to do is to come up with loading per house, whichever source needs, how many amp hours to use and what the current voltage requirements are. And we're doing that. We've met with all of the abutters either in person or I've met with them in person or by email and they've asked me to represent them. And no one has said no. So we're trying to get what accurate numbers would be and what time frame would be. So once this trench is open, there can be one more conduit that says exactly what this diagram shows.
So clearly there's a discrepancy between EverSource and their estimates.
Yeah, but the money is not the issue here.
That's fine, but it's a point that needs to be considered. And do you agree that the neighborhood has not yet reached full consensus about whether to move forward?
They've asked me to come here because they are affirmative but can't commit because we don't have final money. You can't commit to something that could be between $7,500 and $10,000 or $11,000. Some of them may not have cameras that do that. And would have to spend a few more thousand internally in the home.
Okay.
So that's where we are with this. We've done conscientiously attended the meeting. We had, I think, 5 or 6 or 7 people from the neighborhood at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
I know.
Who left work. And we're doing everything possible to determine if this is the right choice for the homeowners to join in on this construction project and all the other things at the same time.
Okay. I'm not closing the public hearing. You're kind of it. The owners would like to speak too. So I'm not closing the public hearing, but have more comments from the committee, and I do want to move on to this legal opinion because this kind of defines our burden here.
Okay, I have one other thing which is important. EverSource contacted Verizon and had them attend the meeting. That wasn't a Verizon employee, it was a contract, because they're on the trust. And they couldn't even discuss, they may have since, but on that day, how they could go about doing this facility because of the strike condition.
So all of the uncertainties are issues of time, and that's what we're going to need to grapple with here. So, Len, you had a comment?
I'll wait. Why don't you just go on to the legal opinion?
I just had a quick question for John.
Sure.
On that map that you just showed us, the print that would be dug and put in if it was just for the one house versus the trench that would be dug for the undergrounding. Is that the same trench or is it a different kind of trench?
It would be the same trench, but it would be stacked. It would have the service connection for the applicant and then the rest for the distribution.
Okay, but it's not, it would be the same trench if it was?
If it was all done at once.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, along those lines, it begs another question then. If we were to grant this sooner for the current applicant, the current petitioner, and you did a temporary pass on the fence, would that make the whole thing more possible?
Yeah.
Okay, just a thought. So, I was really stinged by this a couple of weeks ago, so Nadia helped, and we had conversations with Bob Waters, and he put it into this memo that you all received. I'm going to read some of it into the record, I think, and also for the public. So, he first asked Mont to make clear that the Station 4 committee is by EverSource. And that's important for us to consider because, you know, we're not hearing a petition from the rest of the neighborhood, and the rest of the neighborhood is, you know, only began to work on their piece very recently, really as of our last meeting, in terms of getting together with EverSource and so forth. So there's a real time issue, uncertainty issue here, and that's important to what he has to say here. So I'm going to just go through the several points. City engineer, as you know, has recommended milling and overlay paving curb to curb for the length of the trench. And we could require that as a condition, but it may not be enforceable against the utility. It would have to be by agreement with between the utility and the customer who's, we understand, going to be paying for the whole thing, whatever the whole thing becomes. We talked about whether or not we should hold an amount from the completion of the work while we left the trench open or with a temporary pass and so forth. And basically, the attorney would say, no, we can't do that, but we could ask for someone to post a bond. I'll read the summary. In summary, while the milling and curb-to-curb repaving recommended by the city engineer to be a condition of the grant may not be technically enforceable against the utility, it may be honored in any case since the customer is ultimately paying the cost of the project. In addition, there appears to be no precedent for requiring a cashier's check. For street repairs, the city has required contractors used by the utilities to post bonds. Finally, the petition that is before the committee, it would not be appropriate or practical to condition the repaving of Franklin Street such that it's scheduled to allow other property owners to connect to the underground transmission line, who may or may not, the earlier said, be moving forward. And despite hearing from Mr. Colantonio, we would be guessing about that, about whether or not you move forward, because you need to do due diligence and understand I want to put this on the table because it essentially is telling us that, you know, we're not on solid ground to withhold permission from one applicant who's been through this long process in order to wait for others. There really needs to be an agreement between you as to how to proceed. So with that, I'm going to ask if committee members want to have more comments or questions, and then everybody else can speak as much as they like. We have all night. Susan, and then...
So I'm trying to understand what he said and how it should work. So that last sentence, he said, if the goal is to allow multiple property owners on Franklin Street to switch to underground service before the road is retained, then a better approach might be to have a new or superseding petition for granted location.
Yes.
Which includes this, you know, that desire. So then it all stems on if we allow the first trench to be dug and temporary, if there was temporary paving, and then giving this a chance to happen before the permanent paving happens. I mean, how would EverSource react to that?
Actually, in this case, for the actual customer, Andrew Franklin, that's the customer that's going to be going to the city. He's putting his conduit in. So it's the customer's contract on the plan. It's the customer to install. So the customer for 100 Franklin will go to the city, obtain the street opening permit. He's going to do the trench. They'll have to get inspection.
So the customer's going to do the trench?
It's the actual customer.
Oh, so
that's going to
work. Okay,
yeah.
So that's where the question goes to you. Are you willing to do the temporary paving? Giving them a chance to do their petition to EverSource and then do the final paving. I guess that's the question.
So, I just want to say that in a slightly different way. So there would be then a temporary patch and a share of the permanent paving.
Yes.
Okay. That essentially is the question, one of the questions that I was going to ask, and I think this would be the ideal outcome for everyone, because if we do a temporary patch, presumably it would be less expensive, is that the case, John, than doing a permanent, and you would be able to have all of the homeowners, the additional 9 or whatever that number is, share equally in the cost of the final paving, so that could bring your final cost actually down for your inconvenience and your willingness to cooperate and allow this to happen. Just as a question that I would have for you is, how long would you think that temporary tax would have to be in there before the neighbors could get their electricians in and find out what the final cost would be each one and get the package together so that we wouldn't have to go longer than a couple of months, let's say, without a permanent pass, but permanent pay job?
Christopher stated, and I think it's what the city has said they'd like, whether or not they can afford that or not. No, but the neighbors had targeted the earliest possible date, which would be May 9, where we could actually have everybody in, yes, I'm in, yes, I'll, you know, commit to the project. And a week later would be the fallback date, because we have, if you might imagine, doctors and lawyers on the street that just are not available to spend the energy on an immediate basis for dealing with it. So that was our target. And the target, actually, according to what I understood, what I read from the attorney, is that when many, many houses share a flyer. So I don't know where this comes from, but if you look at the design that the engineer showed, there are 5 houses served off of the wire. So this is done commonly. Not everybody has their own wire, the main wire, secondary wire, and distribution wire. So what we were thinking of is that there are going to be 2 conduits in the trench, right? This is what the plan calls for, that's the approval to grant you some requests. If the neighbors are going into this, there would be 4 conduits in the trench. Same trench, 2 conduits on the bottom, 2 on top. And then we break off laterals, they go to the conduits. And all they're trying to do is to consolidate a single construction project so the street is not open once, cast temporarily, then redone the same hole on top of the same conduit, and then next to that will come fiber. Next to that will come Comcast. Next to that will come ice. And we end up with a series of trenches dug over the next 6 or 8 months, and the stream is open and patched and patched and patched. Just do one construction project, coordinate through DCW, the same plans for the utilities that are going in, and dig a hole, put the stuff in, and you're done with it. That's all we're trying to accomplish here. So, patching, repatching, redigging, putting more conduit in, rebackfilling, recompacting.
What I
heard,
would
you
like to speak to that?
Well, we're just talking about everything. What about Verizon not getting contracts? Those designs haven't even been looked at.
I understand.
Right.
So we're talking
so
we're
aware
before those get on board, they have a provision for the design maker.
So we very well could.
So, first of all, I thought what I understood is that we might be able to approve this petition with conditions and allow the current petitioner to move ahead with their customer. And that would allow the customer to go ahead and dig the trench and put the first two conduits in. We're not going to leave the trench open. We would, in fact, fill the trench and put a temporary patch on it because it's not safe to do anything else. And that would allow the house that's already built the power it needs to get either a temporary or a permanent occupancy permit, and that's something we haven't discussed yet. Then, because it's going to take months for the neighborhood to decide and plan and work with Eversource and all the other utilities, and you hope that it's all going to be done before the winter. Does that make sense?
Ideal world, yeah.
Okay.
Trench, since one is farther down and one is up, that you need a separate trench for it.
Yeah, they never mix electricity with telecommunications.
Verizon told us, Victor was there, they want to be on the very side of the road, even off the pavement a little bit if they could.
No, they can't.
They want to be inside first.
Right.
Well, the road is actually 100 feet, 40 feet wide. They're going to be 26 or something. They want to be, on one side or the other.
So it sounds to me, though I don't think it makes Victor happy, but it sounds to me that the idea of a temporary temporary patch would allow the petitioner, who's without electricity, as I understand it, to move forward and also give the neighborhood the opportunity to get involved at a later date. That's what at least it seems to me. My question is, if the neighborhood decides not to move forward, then what would then be the expectation of the street being paved or whatever?
Originally, my recommendation, based on the prices, was to move it all the way, certainly at the current rate. The road was paved in 2008, and you could see it's in fairly good condition. But I think as a compromise, and I discussed this with the commission, we would request that at least get a part in place until that be done. That way, it's a nice transition. There's no seams, and it would blend in very nicely with the existing asphalt.
Okay. What did you call it?
It's infrared patching.
Okay, and obviously you could... Would you do that work and charge
No, it would be the applicant's responsibility to retain a contractor. We've qualified to do this type of work.
All right. So it would also, I assume, I read the part about how we can't obligate the utilities to do more than what they are required to do by whoever writes the DPU or whatever. So I understand that, but that doesn't mean that we can't enter into a voluntary agreement with the petitioner who would either post a bond or would get an estimate for the work and put up 1.25 or 1.5 times, whatever, to make sure that that work is done. We could do that.
Right.
And I did ask Bob Water today if that was possible, and he said that it was. So, so that we can ensure that we get the street back to the condition that we want it back to.
Sure.
So that's something that we might want to consider.
Sounds like a condition to me.
Yes, absolutely. I know, stupid question.
Well,
I was out of state, so I didn't have the benefit of the first hearing.
See.
So I've just been trying to catch up
mm-hmm.
the meeting. So if the issue is the timing of digging up the street, no one really wants to dig up the street, can't someone give them a temporary easement to hook up the electricity so we can get electricity and then we can sort out who wants to do what?
He's right.
Did I miss that?
I believe
I did, and I don't
yeah.
believe
my
it.
It isn't that temporary, is it?
I mean,
well,
a temporary easement, where I don't believe, was tried, but there wasn't a you heard the EverSource is laying out of the calendar.
Okay.
A permanent easement was tried.
In order to get him, if I'm hearing this right, to get him the electricity, and then it gives the ability for the neighborhood and the petition, you know, to sort out the digging of the street and not having them patch, repatch, get the utilities in. I'm trying to come up with a common solution here. And if I'm all wet, I apologize. I'm just trying to help.
We certainly can ask the petitioner. I think we need to ask the representative from the neighborhood as well, because this really has to be a situation that's agreeable to both parties. And we're trying to make everybody happy, but we have no control over that agreement. So, does somebody want to speak?
Well, the record shows last week that the talking was the only one there.
The who?
Toppings. They were at the hearing the last hearing.
A couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yes, said that they were the only thing they were asked for an easement.
And they were asked for a permanent easement?
Yeah, 20 feet wide, down the side of the yard, over the stone wall, you know. They said, we can't do that. It's impossible. So,
So that would be the case for a temporary easement as well? You would have to go?
Well, it would even be worse, because they said that they have to come off the utility pole, go underground on the curb, get a granted location, cut under the curb, go through their backyard.
Why does it have to be underground if it's a temporary location? Just put a wire. Send a wire.
Yeah, under the trees and cut
yeah.
the trees.
Well, you don't have to cut the trees.
Of course, they can't hang a wire through the trees.
Okay. So I'm compromise. Yeah.
I would characterize the beginning of the public hearing as tense. And you know, almost everyone from the neighborhood was in this room, and there was some unhappiness.
It's been being reported.
Well,
no, because I just kind of felt like there were three speakers, and I wasn't going up to
the room. I understand. Okay, so I think we're left with, at least what I'm thinking is, we have an obligation to move this forward. As our law department advises, but we can condition the approval, and there seems to be some level of consensus between the petitioner's customer and the neighborhood representative that if there were to be a temporary patch, it's a little more work, but it's not a lot more work. It's not the same amount of work, and if you permanently backfill your trench and compact it and so forth and put in a, you know, coast-to-coast paving, then you've kind of lost your opportunity. But if we could condition this that, as agreed by the status right, the petitioner's customer, would be willing to do both the temporary trench backfilling and patch, a future portion of the repaving of the street.
And that we should post a bond in the amount of, what is it, 100-something percent?
Well, typically, you get like 1.5 times the cost of the job.
Okay. And we could come up with that number, 1.5 times the cost of the job. And conditioned in such a way we could move this petition forward. Do you think so? Does that sound right? And that would give you plenty of time. You know, but the neighborhood risk, all of the risk, I suppose if you can't do this in a speedy fashion and get the total consensus that, you know, you might be in process and not meet the winter conditions and wind up with a patch, you know, through the winter. And we hope that's not the case. But clearly, if you're not making any headway in your sort of dissolving the idea.
We did notify this committee to obtain any disposition by the neighborhood that would accept, would permit this to be a permanent patch and avoid the temporary. Now, our goal isn't to be very obstacles. Our goal is this is a one-shot deal for the neighborhood. Either the wire goes in now or it doesn't, and no one's going to come back and get from now.
That's why we're trying to make this work. So,
What did you say about the permanent patch by, you said something, because I would think that we wouldn't want this to be, in the neighbors wouldn't want this temporary patch there on an open-ended basis at some point.
Of course, yeah. Right.
You would.
The collectively they risk having a long-term temporary patch, but I guess the objective would be to get all of this done as easily as possible so that you can have a permanent new road before the winter.
Well, okay. Then I think that should be included in as a condition that if there isn't a petition filed by the neighborhood by a certain date, then it's the obligation of the petitioner to, you know, get this thing permanently passed because you don't want to go into the winter.
Right. So what would that date be? Because
Can you give us a permit filed by when?
But you would know by the end of August or something, wouldn't you?
We'll go sign in the next two or three weeks. But you know how it can take longer, so we want to give you plenty of time, but at some point.
Can we have a petition before us by June 15th?
June,
I would July 4th. Okay, I should tell you, we normally meet only once in July and once in August.
We'll see that. But I think we have to do that. I don't know what the schedule for all these other people are. I was actually hoping in May, but Wendy's right, it could be, you know.
Just stay by August 1st, give everybody plenty of time. Okay. It's got to be Eversource and all the rest of the jazz. Okay.
And maybe they can work together on the rest of it.
Hopefully, yes.
So that would be the best thing.
Thank you.
So August 1st, if you haven't heard from Eversource or another location, then it's Chris.
Okay. You have each other's information?
No, not, I don't know if it's...
It's over the trench.
I'm just pointing that out, Chris, because I don't want there to be any surprises. Because they are making a different recommendation from what they originally made. They're saying that the infrared will do the job.
Okay.
So the petitioner heard that. Is the petitioner in agreement to go Kirk to Kirk?
No.
No.
Okay, and your question?
Is it, what could be new retro right
there? The removal of any Chicago basketball from curb line to curb line, the entire length of the road from the dead end portion to the main hall.
Yeah.
And every point.
Oh, and yeah, they have.
Right. So you take out and put that.
Okay.
Okay, that's what I was, I mean, we've had another issue recently about the city policies and an exception to it. So I'm glad.
There's a lot of cutting.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that we're not, you know, here's a street that we just did. I'm glad to hear that we're not compromising on that.
Yeah, outside of 5 years, but still.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So is this an at expense for the petitioner?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'd have to do that anyway, because we're requiring it. But it's an added expense to do the fence first, and then do the curb to curb.
Well, we have to, this is why the law department thing is, the petitioner is Eversource. And the Eversource is paying the cost of the whole thing,
right?
Because their customer is paying them for the cost of the whole thing. So really, we're negotiating a voluntary agreement by the petitioner's customer, and the rest of the neighborhood.
Right, but we'd be requiring curb to curb.
Yeah.
Anyway, but normally.
No, that was negotiated.
That was negotiated. It's because it's outside of the five-year moratorium.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And we can only require the utility company to do basically
the grant. Okay. So, all right. Yeah. He's agreed to do that, but now we're asking him to do a transfer and then to do that,
and
to hold
to
off.
That.
So that's
helpful. Some of the final expenses before everybody.
If they do it, if they don't do it, yeah. So.
With some.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll make the motion.
Motion as.
Okay. And with the two conditions, the bond, the
curb
to curb,
the fence. Yeah.
So you're making the petition to approve the petition,
right?
And there would be a condition added that the law department would draw up a voluntary agreement with the petitioner to mill and overlay the entire section of Franklin from the manhole, and that an appropriate either bond or cash deposit be made in order to ensure that happens.
And the August 1st deadline?
Right. To have it done by the August.
Yes. I mean, do you think it needs to be, or does that need to be a condition, or it should just be indicated in the record so that.
Well, it could be a condition when it has to be done.
So the first. That would almost be the second condition, because the first condition is that the petitioner's customer is willing to put in a temporary patch subject to other customers filing a petition
by
a date of no later than August 1st to share the trench and other underground utilities.
Yeah. How are you doing over there, Nadia? Huh? You having fun?
Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So with those two conditions, we have a motion to approve this petition by Councilor Albright. All in favor? Thank you. It's unanimous. Okay.
Thank you
very much, everyone. Thank you for the work you did outside of this meeting as well. And we are good.
All done. All done.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I was happy. I didn't do it, but yeah.